I take for my text today the first sentence of today's epistle. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
In recent times, we have gone through a tsunami, Hurricane Katrina, and many other man-made and natural disasters, as well as our own personal trials, serious illness, death in the family, losing a job. No one can see such events, even from afar, without asking the big question, where was God? And how can God allow such things to happen? We are not the first to ask this question, and we certainly will not be the last. Atheists don't have to bother with such a question. To them, life is a cosmic accident. Disasters just happen. For many Eastern religions, suffering is just part of the great circle of life. Individuals don't really matter. Others, and this I find difficult, define everything in direct cause and effect terms. Somehow those people on the Gulf Coast with Hurricane Katrina got what they deserved. Christians, however, cannot so easily dismiss the question that disasters pose. We believe in a personal God that is both loving and powerful. God knows what happens and he cares. Disasters force us to confront the hard question, how can God be good and great at the same time? How do those of us who gather to worship the living God make sense out of such events? Why do such things happen? I would not presume to have all the answers that such events raise, and I do not claim to understand it all myself. But I don't think that the followers of Jesus Christ should let such events pass without turning to the Holy Scriptures for answers. The Bible explains what has happened. Bad things happen because we live in a broken world. The early pages of Genesis teaches us that God created a perfect world, but it did not stay that way. He did not create evil, but he did create freedom of will. With this freedom comes the potential for actions and events contrary to God's will. Adam and Eve chose to rebel against their Creator. All of Adam's descendants are broken people living in a broken world. Bad things result. In a broken world of broken people, the real question is not, why does a holy God allow disasters? But rather it should be, why are some of us spared? The fact that we personally are spared these calamities should remind us how fragile life is and how valuable we all are. The victim no more deserves their suffering than we do. Suffering does not happen in direct proportion to sin. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew we read, ye are the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Innocent people suffer accidents. Innocent people suffer. Accidents happen, and that is what today's text is all about. Sin is not just personal, it is also universal. God made Adam and Eve the crown of his creation. They were the caretakers of God's handiwork, but all of creation suffered when they stepped outside of God's will. The great news is that someday God will completely reverse the destructive direction of our fallen world. He has been working toward that goal since the Garden of Eden. That is what the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus was all about. We wait, along with the rest of creation, for a new heaven and a new earth, where sin, death, destruction, and disasters won't happen. Suffering happens because of sin. It also happens because of Satan. The Bible is clear. Satan is real. He is not make-believe. He is not a fantasy or a symbolic idea. The Bible says he prowls the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is behind all the hatred, war, oppression, and corruption in the world. He works behind the scene in all levels of society, and much of the world's suffering flows directly from his successes. We are told that we get worse before it gets better. Having said that, we need to remember our most important statement from the Bible. Even when bad things happen, God is still in control. Nothing that happens escapes God's watchful eye or tender concern. Again, Matthew reminds us in his 10th chapter, "Are two sparrows not sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall in the ground without your Father? But the very hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And this message and the epistle lesson, for the epistle lesson, let me finish the rest of the chapter and it will become clear. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We may not know why disasters and hard times happen to us or anyone else, but this we do know: God is good. All the time, he is in control. Even in the worst of times, he still loves, he still cares, and he is always at work seeking to bring good to us. I don't want to minimize the sufferings and the heartaches of all the people suffering in this earth. All these things are something that we should pray that no human being has to face. But God is still good, and believe it or not, good is coming out of these horrors. Hard times strengthen us. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. These disasters have softened our hearts, strengthened our resolve, and makes us a more compassionate people. God, through our trials, tests our faith, which develops perseverance, and the end result of perseverance is maturity and completeness, lacking for nothing. Disasters pull the rug out from under us. Suddenly money, ambition, and success don't matter as much as life, faith, and family. Disasters give rise to great love and generosity. Many have stepped forward to give, to love, and to care. None of us knows what will happen, what tomorrow holds. Some of us will face future hardships, but we can and will live through it. We will, because we have the promise of a loving and faithful God who works good even in the bad times. We also know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The ultimate proof of this came in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. So what is God doing in the midst of disaster? He is doing what he always does. He is loving us, caring for us, and preparing us for eternity. This has been unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Amen.